Good morning. I'd like to call the opening of the bids meeting to order. First order of business, the letter of notification. Gentlemen, certified proofs of publication have been received in the Office of Mineral Resources on behalf of the State Mineral and Energy Board for the state of Louisiana from the Advocate Official Journal for the state of Louisiana and from the respective parish journals as evidence that tract numbers 41639 through 41684 have been advertised in accordance with and under the provisions of Chapter 2, Title 30 of the revised statutes of 1950 as amended. Letters of protest, there were no letters of protest for today's sale, and there would be no recommendations to withdraw any tracts from today's sale, and we'll proceed with the opening of the bids.
Good morning. We received one bid on track 41639, advertised as 436 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Say Oil Company. Say Oil Company. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $12,099. $12,099, or a per acre value of $27.75. Annual rentals are $6,050. $6,050. Royalties are 21%. We did not receive any bids on track 41640 or 41641. 41642. We did receive three bids on track 41643, advertised as 56 acres. The first bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Paramount Energy, Inc. Paramount Energy, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $337,736, $337,736, or a per acre value of $6,031. Annual rentals are $168,868, $168,868. Royalties are 25%. The second bid on track 41643 is for the entire track. The bidder is Matador Resources Company. Matador Resources Company. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $509,600. $509,600. Or a per acre value of $9,100. Annual rentals are $254,800. $254,800. Royalties are 21%. The third bid on track 41643 is for the entire track. The bidder is Matador Resources Company. Matador Resources Company. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $415,296. $415,296. Or a per acre value of $7,416. Annual rentals are $207,648. $207,648. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 41644, advertised as 1 acre. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Paramount Energy, Inc. Paramount Energy, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $5,031. $5,031. Or a per acre value of $5,031. Annual rentals are $2,515.50. $2,515.50. Royalties are 25%. We did not receive any bids on track 41645. We did receive one bid on track 41646, advertised as 207 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Prime Lake Exploration, LLC. Prime Lake Exploration, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $87,071.44. $38,071.44. Or a per acre value of $183.92. Annual rentals are $19,035.72. $19,035.72. Royalties are 20.5%. We received one bid on track 41647. Advertised as 76 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Prime Lake Exploration, LLC. Prime Lake Exploration, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $9,319.12. $9,319.12. Or a per acre value of $122.62. Annual rentals are $4,659.56. $4,659.56. Royalties are 20.5%. We received one bid on track 41648. Advertised as 12.87 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 7.68 acres. The bidder is Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $979.20. $979.20. Or a per acre value of $127.50. Annual rentals are $489.60. $489.60. Royalties are 20.5%. We did not receive any bids on track 41649 or 41650. We did receive two bids on track 41651, advertised as 41 acres. The first bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Albert S. Ruffin, Jr. Albert S. Ruffin, Jr. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $12,361.50. $12,361.50. Or a per acre value of $301.50. Annual rentals are $12,361.50. $12,361.50. and 50 cents. Royalties are 24%. The second bid on track 41651 is for the entire track. The bidder is Orbit Energy, Inc. Orbit Energy, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $10,373. $10,373. Or a per acre value of $253. Annual rentals are $5,186.50. $5,186.50. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 41652, advertised as 36 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Delta Lands Exploration, Inc. Delta Lands Exploration, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $12,600. $12,600. Or a per acre value of $350. Annual rentals are $12,600. $12,600. Royalties are 24%. We received one bid on track 41653, advertised as 258 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Fleetwood Resources, Inc. Fleetwood Resources, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $83,850. $83,850. Or a per acre value of $325. Annual rentals are $41,925. $41,925. Royalties are 21.75%. We received two bids on track 41654, advertised as 2,399.34 acres. The first bid is for a portion containing 537.87 acres. The bidder is Ballard Exploration Company, Inc. Ballard Exploration Company, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $1,134,905.70. $1,134,905.70. Excuse me. Or a per acre value of $2,110. Annual rentals are $567,452.85. $567,452.85. Royalties are 25%. The second bid on track 41654 is for a portion containing 298.99 acres. The bidder is Wainwright and Boyer Land Services, LLC. Wainwright and Boyer Land Services, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $307,062.73. $307,062.73. Or a per acre value of $1,027. Annual rentals are $153,531.37. $153,531.37. Royalties are 25.5%. We did not receive any bids on track 41655. We did receive one bid on track 41656, advertises 274 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 114.07 acres. The bidder is Wainwright and Boyer Land Services, LLC. Wainwright and Boyer Land Services, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $34,563.21. $34,563.21, or a per acre value of $303. Annual rentals are $17,281.61. $17,281.61. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 41657, advertised as 616 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 15.93 acres. The bidder is Wainwright and Boyer Land Services, LLC. Wainwright and Boyer Land Services, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $4,826.79. $4,826.79, or a per acre value of $303. Annual rentals are $2,413.40. $2,413.40. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 41658, advertised as 722 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 37 acres. The bidder is Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $27,232. $27,232, or a per acre value of $736. Annual rentals are $13,616. $13,616. Royalties are 23.5%. We did not receive any bids on track 41659. We did receive one bid on track 41660, advertised as 995 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 515 acres. The bidder is Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $183,340. $183,340. Or a per acre value of $356. Annual rentals are $91,670. $91,670. Royalties are 23%. We received two bids on track 41661, advertised as 94 acres. The first bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Spectre Exploration, Inc. Spectre Exploration, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $30,550. $30,550. Or a per acre value of $325. Annual rentals are $15,275. $15,275. Royalties are 22.5%. The second bid on track 41661 is for the entire track. The bidder is Louisiana Energy Investments, Inc. Louisiana Energy Investments, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $35,250. $35,250. Or a per acre value of $375. Annual rentals are $17,625. $17,625. Royalties are 25%. We did not receive any bids on track 41663 or 41664. We did receive one bid on track 41665, advertised as...
We do 60?
Am I correct? My apologies. We did receive one bid on track 41662, advertised as 45 acres. Thank you. The bid is for a portion containing 41.26 acres. The bidder is Oil Land Services, Inc. Oil Land Services, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $14,688.56. $14,688.56. Or a per acre value of $356. Annual rentals are $7,344.28. $7,344.28. Royalties are 23%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 41663 or 41664. We did receive one bid on track 41665, advertised as 627.37 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 313.69 acres. The bidder is Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $39,995.48. $39,995.48. Or a per acre value of $127.50. Annual rentals are $19,997.74. $19,997.74. Royalties are 20.5%. We did not receive any bids on track 41666. We did receive one bid on track 41667. Advertised is 2.682 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Paramount Energy, Inc. Paramount Energy, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $9,470.14. $9,470.14, or a per-acre value of $3,531. Annual rentals are $4,735.07. $4,735.07. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 41668, advertised as 8.1022 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Paramount Energy, Inc. Paramount Energy, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $40,616.33. $40,616.33, or a per acre value of $5,013. Annual rentals are $20,308.17. $20,308.17. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 41669, advertised as 42.27 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Swift Energy Operating, LLC. Swift Energy Operating, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $14,921.31. $14,921.13, or a per acre value of $353. Annual rentals are $14,921.31. $14,921.31. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 41670, advertised as 27 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Paramount Energy, Inc. Paramount Energy, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $54,351. $54,351. Or a per acre value of $2,013. Annual rentals are $27,175.50. $27,175.50. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 41671. Advertised as 4 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Paramount Energy, Inc. Paramount Energy, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $8,052. $8,052, or a per acre value of $2,013. Annual rentals are $4,026. $4,026. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid for track 41672, advertised as 6 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Paramount Energy, Inc. Paramount Energy, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $12,078. $12,078, or a per-acre value of $2,013. Annual rentals are $6,039. $6,039. Royalties are 25%. We did not receive any bids on the following tracks: 41673, 74, 75, 76, 77, or 41678. We did receive one bid on track 41679, advertised as 5 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Paramount Energy, Inc. Paramount Energy, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $17,655. $17,655, or a per acre value of $3,531. Annual rentals are $8,827.50. $8,827.50. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 41680, advertised as 20 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Paramount Energy, Inc. Paramount Energy, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $70,620. $70,620. Or a per acre value of $3,531. Annual rentals are $35,310. $35,310. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 41681, advertised as 5 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Paramount Energy, Inc. Paramount Energy, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $22,655. $22,655, or a per acre value of $4,531. Annual rentals are $11,327.50. $11,327.50. Royalties are 25%. We received two bids on track 41682, advertised as 41 acres. The first bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Audubon Oil and Gas Corporation. Audubon Oil and Gas Corporation. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $205,000. $205,000, or a per acre value of $5,000. Annual rentals are $102,500. $102,500. Royalties are 20%. The second bid on track 41682 is for the entire track. The bidder is Paramount Energy, Inc. Paramount Energy, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $98,933. $98,933, or a per acre value of $2,413. Annual rentals are $49,466.50. $49,466.50. Royalties are 25%. We did not receive any bids on track 41683. We did receive one bid on track 41684, advertised as 53.7225 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Paramount Energy, Inc. Paramount Energy, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $189,694.15. $189,694.15, or a per acre value of $3,531. Annual rentals are $94,847.08. $94,847.08. Royalties are 25%. That will complete the opening and reading of the bids for today's lease sale.
We will adjourn the opening of the bids meeting. Committee meetings should begin around 9:30. Thank you.
No problems with any this month? Everybody did their... Oh, you are. You kind of scared me because when you said...
Yeah. We're going to go ahead and get started this morning, call the committee meetings to order.
Roll call, Mr. Angel, Mr. Segura, Mr. Arnold, Cordero.
Here.
Mr. Diaz, Mr. Harper, Mr. Ingram, Mr. Martin, Mr. Sanders, Ms. Smith. Thank you. I hereby convene the Lease Review Committee meeting. Mr. Dugas, would you please present the agenda?
Yes, thank you. As you can see, we, according to Sunrise, there are 1,784 active state leases covering approximately 839,000 acres. The G&E division reviewed 162 of these leases this past month, covering over 100,000 acres. For detailed review, we have State Lease 195C, Quarantine Bay Field, State Leases 2220, 21, 40, 39, 41, 47, LY Bay, and our Half Moon Lake Fields. Both of these areas operated by Cox. Report on State Lease 28A, Bay Batiste, and a staff report on State Lease 173, Caddo Pine Island. Okay, the first lease, 195C, Quarantine Bay Field. The committee last reviewed this lease on July 14th this year. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to grant Cox until September the 8th to meet with the staff to present a specific plan of development, including the drilling of a well on or affecting the state lease acreage, a timetable for carrying out this plan, or plan of release of the non-productive state lease acreage. In addition, Cox was to report on all shut-in wells on the lease, their present status, indicate where future or no future utility. If there is apparent future utility, they were to specify a reason for that designation and provide a schedule for the plugging and abandonment of those wells determined to have no future utility. Cox Operating met with staff on September the 9th. They presented four prospects on non-productive acreage, three in the north and one in the south, but no firm spud dates. In other words, no timetable for carrying out the plan, nor did Cox propose release of the non-productive acreage. They did present us with a spreadsheet of wells, shut-in wells, and their plans for them, and I think they had planned to plug 10 wells before the end of the year. But as I said, they didn't give us a definite timetable for their plans. The staff recommends that this lease be referred to the Legal and Title Controversy Committee for any further action. Okay, the following leases, 2220, 2221, 4039, 4147, also operated by Cox. Basically, what I said earlier, what we asked for, and is the same for these four. They came in on the same day, same meeting. They had no specific plan of development for these leases, nor did Cox propose release of the non-productive acreage. Therefore, the staff recommends that these leases be referred to the Legal and Title Controversy Committee for any further action. Are there any questions on that?
Yes, sir.
Do you get any sense of why? You think it's money, or?
I think that was one of the things for 195. You know, they did show us. In fact, I think they're showing one of their prospects next week in Lafayette at the Prospect Expo, and they have shown it before. One of them, I don't know if they're at that point of showing it. And we just asked them, you know, how come you can't, you know, commit? Because they don't win the money. They're probably out, you know, trying to sell it off.
Thank you.
It's good?
Thank you. Do you need a motion to accept staff's recommendation? Or are you going to do them all at once?
Well, yes. Yeah, we'll motion that, but I have two more leases.
Okay, you can do them all at one time? That's fine.
Yeah, I was just going to do them all at once. Yes, I recommend you accept these recommendations. And the following two. State Lease 328A, Babatise Field, Hillcorp Energy is our lessee. The committee last reviewed this lease last month. Representatives of Hillcorp met with the committee in executive session where they outlined their plans to restore this lease to production. The board deferred any action on this lease until today. Staff recommends that the 349-acre proposed partial release be accepted and that Hillcorp be granted until April 1st, 2011 to restore this lease to production or in lieu thereof release another 349 acres. State Lease 173.
Question. I see the map on the carve out that they're going to release here. Do we do any analysis to determine whether they're dumping bad acreage back to us, or is there anything goes into that form?
I think the 349 acres is what the state claims there.
Okay.
The actual outline includes some acreage that belongs to landowners. Yes, it's non-productive. All of this acreage right now is non-productive.
Thank you.
Any more? All right. State Lease 173, Caddo Pine Island Field, Gemini Explorations Incorporated and Rockwell Petroleum Incorporated are the lessees and the operators. The committee last reviewed this lease on July 14th of this year. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to not accept the plan of development submitted by Rockwell and Gemini and that they be granted until September the 8th to meet with the staff to discuss their plans for the development of the non-productive acreage, a timetable for carrying out this plan or in lieu thereof, a plan to release the non-productive acreage. In addition, Rockwell and Gemini were to report on the status of the active wells on the lease, indicating future or no future utility for the shut-in wells, plans for the wells with future utility, and a schedule for plugging the wells with no future utility. Representatives of both these companies met with the staff on August the 25th. Rockwell presented plans to drill a horizontal well in the Enona Chalk to be spud by mid to late September. This well was permitted September the 24th, so we do have a permit, so that shouldn't be long, hopefully. They hope, if this thing is successful, they plan to drill several, I think up to 25 horizontal wells out here, so this would be a great thing for us. Jim and I provided a list of the wells that are producing, the wells to be reworked, and the wells to be plugged. They were asked to submit a plugging and abandonment plan for the staff's review before the October meeting. They did submit this report by letter dated September 14th. They proposed to P&A 3 wells by the end of this year and 4 per year thereafter. No timeline for restoring wells to production was submitted. However, they did have several wells that they feel have potential that they will be working on, unless they did submit anything to Charles. No, they haven't yet. So our recommendation is this: as long as Rockwell's drilling program proceeds as planned, the staff will be satisfied with Gemini's plans as submitted. Therefore, the staff recommends that the plan of development submitted by Rockwell and the P&A plan submitted by Gemini be accepted, and that Rockwell submit by January 1st, 2011, a status report on the horizontal well. That's all we have for any questions on this one. Sorry.
I'd like to make a motion to accept staff recommendations.
Sanders, second.
I have a motion from Mr. Arnold, a second from Mr. Sanders. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Okay. We have a force majeure report brief sent by Charles.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Charles. Let's see. We've changed this up a little bit this month. There was a request by the legal staff to new force majeures to get the board to recognize the force majeure and pass a resolution on it. So the first two items on there, Stone Energy at Bay Marchand Block 2 offshore field in Lafourche Parish. There are 6 leases there. State lease 14498, 15310, 15970, 16255, 16256, and 16257. What happened here is they believe that during the evacuation in advance of Hurricane Alex back in June, early July, somebody dropped an anchor and grabbed their flow line and crimped it. And you can see where somebody definitely, the flow line was moved. They showed pictures of the thing's been bent. Well, anyways, it causes excessive back pressure on the platform, so they can't produce. They've asked that you all recognize a force majeure, because after their full engineering study determined they've got to replace several miles of line from their well to the final sales platform. It goes to another platform for sales. So we had asked for a board resolution that would recognize the force majeure event to have occurred on July 9th of 2010 due to the failure of an oil transport pipeline servicing the 6 state leases that I mentioned.
So. I got a question.
Okay.
Sure.
Please.
So right now we recognize force majeure for obviously act of God, permits, issues, things like that. Now we're recognizing for our deckhand dropping an anchor.
Well, I mean,
where do we stop?
Well, the problem is that the anchor caused them to have to replace the line, which they couldn't do in 90 days.
Right.
And
so I asked for 90 days total?
No, actually they couldn't. According to the lease, you have 90 days to restore production if there's a cessation of production. During that time, they had divers tracking the entire line, trying to find what was wrong, see if they could replace it. And by the time they got to the end of the period, they realized that they were just going to have to replace the whole line. They could not use, you know, any piece of it. So they have to replace several miles of line, which means they have to go through the permitting process and all the engineering, order the pipe and everything to do it.
We've recognized force majeure before for not having a pipeline available.
We have been recognizing, due to a lack of, well, not to a lack of it, but due to damaged pipelines. It's been a bad year for lines this year.
Maybe I can clarify that. In this particular instance, the force majeure would be the damage to the pipeline, whatever the cause,
due to
that was not under the control of the leaseholder.
Okay.
That caused the cessation of production. So that's the force majeure that we're talking about.
Okay, thank you. And I go ahead with staff recommendations.
Sanders, second.
Motion from Mr. Arnold, a second from Mr. Sanders. Any public comments? All in favor?
All right.
Any opposed? Motion carries. I need a motion and a second to adjourn the one more.
We still got a little more here. Okay, I have another one here for IG Petroleum for an operating agreement, A0232, in West Delta Block 84, Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana. This is a situation where Tennessee Gas Pipeline that services the platform, provides gas lift gas, and also doubles as a sales line. It ruptured. And the after about 15 days, Tennessee decided they weren't going to repair the line. So now IG Petroleum is in negotiations with them to purchase the line, and then after that it's going to take probably about 4 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks to repair the line once they get all the permitting completed. They have asked that a force majeure situation be recognized in this case, and we're suggesting it would begin September 3rd of 2010. And we request that there be a resolution on this also.
Any questions or comments from the board? Public comments? I need a motion and a second to approve.
Okay.
I move to accept staff request.
Motion from Ms. Smith, a second from Mr. Cordero. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Other than that, in your packet should be a copy of the memorandum that I've written that details the current update on all existing force majeures and their situations, and that's it.
Need a motion and a second to approve force majeures?
So
moved. Motion from Mr. Arnold, second from Ms. Smith. Any public comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. I need a motion and a second to adjourn the meeting.
Move, Sanders.
Motion from Mr. Sanders, a second from Mr. Arnold. Motion carries. Police Review Committee is now adjourned.
Moving on to Nomination and Track Committee.
Thank you.
I'd like to call to order the Nomination and Track Committee meeting. At this time, we'll have a roll call. Mr. Angel, Mr. Segura,
here.
Mr. Arnold,
present.
Mr. Diaz, Mr. Ingram, Mr. Morton,
here.
Mr. Sanders,
here.
Mr. Smith, Mrs. Smith.
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Cordero, ladies and gentlemen. Previous approval by the board was granted to the staff to process and advertise 46 tracts in the official journal of the state and in the journal of the parishes where the lands are located for today's lease sale. The second item, it is being noted for the record that there was a letter of protest from Miami Corporation on track number 41604, which appeared in the September 8, 2000 lease sale, which we received in this office on September the 9th. While no action is necessary, out of an abundance of caution, the staff reviewed the most recent state land water bottoms layer and recognized that the aforementioned tract contained both claimable water bottoms and private lands within. Therefore, tract 41604 was advertised correctly. Incidentally, the tract was advertised as an inland tract containing 1,399 acres in Iberia Parish. There were two acceptable bids by Carrie Sue Energy, Inc. being 9 acres and 2 acres, and were awarded as State Lease 20429 and State Lease 20430. Any further explanation? Then the final item is 51 nominations received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the December 8, 2010 lease sale are pending approval by the board for advertisement. The staff recommends that they be given the authority to advertise the aforementioned nominations received in this office for the December 8, 2010 lease sale.
Okay, I need a motion and second to accept the staff's.
Sanders.
Motion by Mr. Sanders.
Staff recommendation.
Second by Mr. Segura. Is there any public comment on this item? Any comment from committee members? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. I need a motion and second to adjourn the nomination and track committee meeting.
Motion
by Ms. Smith. Second by Mr. Smith. All in favor? Any opposed? The committee is adjourned. Thank you, Mr. Botner.
Moving on to the audit committee.
I'd like to call the audit review committee to order. Take a roll call, please. Ms. Angel. Mr. Segura.
Here.
Mr. Cordero. Mr. Diaz. Mr. Harper. Mr. Ingram. Mr. Morton.
Here.
Mr. Sanders.
Here.
Mr. Smith. Mrs. Smith.
Here.
We do have a quorum. We are ready to go. And Ms. Rachel, how you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Rachel.
Item number one is a penalty waiver request from Mission Resources Corporation for a penalty in the amount of $24,541.13 billed for audit exceptions. The field audit for the period of January 2002 through December 2005 began on January 18, 2010. This was the second audit of Mission. They were somewhat cooperative with accommodations and scheduling. Mission provided very timely responses to questions or requests for more records. Some problems noted were the same as in previous audits, but others were corrected. Mission has taken steps to prevent recurrence of errors on future royalties. Mission Resources Corporation paid the state a total of $68,284.50 in royalty exceptions and $34,947.66 in interest charges. Staff is recommending a 75% waiver of $18,405.85 with a balance due of $6,135.28.
You have heard of staff's recommendation and explanation. Do we have any comments? Do we have any public comments? Do I have a motion from the board? Moved by Mr. Ingram. Second by Mr. Segura. Anyone opposed? Hearing none. Motion carries. Item two.
Item number two is a recoupment request from Devon Energy Corporation for an overpayment in the amount of $26,749.02. State lease numbers involved are 01277, 01354, 02557, 01355, 01357, 01359, 00988, 01353, 03508, 01278, and 18479. For June 2010, Devon paid oil royalties based on incorrect values, which resulted in an overpayment. Staff has reviewed the documentation and confirmed the overpayment and recommends that Devon Energy Corporation is allowed to recoup this overpayment from future royalties.
You have heard staff's explanation and recommendation. Is there any public comment? Any comments from the board? Is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Moved by Ms. Smith. Second by Mr. Ingram. Anyone opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you. Item three.
Item number three is a recoupment request from Stone Energy Corporation for an overpayment in the amount of $27,350.38. State lease number involved is 18603. For July 2008, Stone paid oil royalty based on incorrect volumes and values, which resulted in an overpayment. Staff has reviewed the documentation and confirmed the overpayment was made and recommends that Stone is allowed to recoup this overpayment from future royalties.
You've heard staff's explanation and recommendation. Mr. Segura has moved to accept. Mr. Sanders has seconded. Any public comment? Any comments from the board or committee? Anyone opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Item 4.
Item number 4 is a request to place Dune Operating Company on demand for unpaid audit exceptions. Staff is requesting authority to place Dune Operating Company on demand for unpaid oil and gas royalties, which were the result of a field audit. Royalty due on the audit is $728,500.71. Interest and penalty charges are accruing daily on the audit amount. Several attempts have been made by staff to contact representatives from Dune to try and resolve the issues. None have been successful. The Attorney General's office is in agreement with this request.
You've heard staff's recommendation and report. Is there any public comment? Is there a motion to accept?
Move.
Move by Mr. Segura. Second by Ms. Smith. Any comments, questions from the committee?
I have a question.
Mr. Sanders?
This covers a period for what period, please, ma'am? This money of almost $750,000.
Mm-hmm. The audit period was July 2007 through December 2008.
Did it come up for a regular audit, or was it triggered by something?
No, this was a regular scheduled audit.
And how long have we been dealing with this in the agency?
The audit began, the first billing was sent in March of 2010, the second one was in April 2010, and the third was in August 2010. The third one was a pre-demand advising them if they did not respond or contact us or pay, they would be placed on demand at this board meeting.
And have you heard anything from them?
No, sir.
Know anything about their financial ability to pay?
As far as we know, they're good to go. We haven't seen any issues or problems that would lead us to believe that they cannot pay. They have not requested a payment plan either.
Are they still operating?
Yes, sir.
Are they paying the accruing royalties as due now?
They're paying their monthly royalties, yes.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? So we have a motion aboard for staff recommendation to place them on demand.
Move.
I think that's been done. And anyone opposed? Hearing none opposed, the motion carries. Item 5.
Item number 5 is a request to place Callan Petroleum Operating Company on demand for unpaid penalty billings. Staff is requesting authority to place Callan on demand for unpaid penalty bills as a result of late payment of royalty. Penalty due on the billing is $1,000. Several attempts have been made by staff to contact representatives from Callan to try and resolve these issues. None have been successful. The Attorney General's office is in agreement with this request.
Here, sir, you have heard staff's report and recommendation for a motion.
Motion.
Move by Ms.
Second.
Smith, second by Mr. Sanders. Is there any public comment? Any comments from the committee? Mrs. Segura.
They owed $32,000. Right?
They owe $1,000.
But did they pay the royalty?
They paid the royalty. They just paid it late. This is the late billing.
Right.
And we reduced the penalty?
No. This is just the $1,000 penalty on late payment of royalty that they never paid.
Any further comments or questions? Anyone opposed?
Is there, do we have in the department a process whereby when they pay a future payment that we could deduct this royalty from that payment?
No, we don't have a policy like that.
Okay,
so we're placing them on demand for $1,000. Okay. Anyone opposed?
Nope.
Hearing none. Item 6, please. Motion carries.
Item number 6 is a request to place Texas Petroleum Investment Company on demand for unpaid interest and penalty billings. Staff is requesting authority to place Texas Petroleum Investment Company on demand for unpaid interest and penalty billings as a result of late payment of royalty. Total interest and penalty outstanding is $1,255.78. Several attempts have been made by staff to contact representatives from Texas Petroleum to try and resolve the issues. None have been successful. The Attorney General's office is in agreement with this request.
You've heard staff's report and recommendation. Do we have a motion, please, to accept? I move by Sador, second by Smith. Is there any public comment? Anyone? Committee comments? Anyone opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Item 7.
Item number 7 is a staff report to the committee that the election for October 2010 gas royalty is to be paid on a processed basis at the Discovery plant at LaRose and the C. Robin plant at Henry for the terms of the State Texaco Global Settlement Agreement.
Thank you, Ms. Newman. There be no further business.
We have one more item.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Item number 8 is a discussion in executive session of the settlement offer from LL&E on royalty audit demand.
Ms. Smith?
I was going to move that we go to move it.
Executive session?
Executive session.
Second by Mrs. Sanders. Oh, you have a question?
I had a comment I wanted to make before we move to that.
Okay. Let's just get the second out of the way.
Right,
second. Second by Mrs. Segura. Mrs. Sanders?
I wanted to comment on the staff's presentation of recommendations in such a concise and meaningful form. Very well done.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Rachel.
Thank you.
And your staff getting it done that way. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there any public comment before we go to executive session about items to be discussed? Anyone opposed from the committee? Hearing none, we're in executive session. We're now out of executive session. After discussion regarding agenda item 8, I believe we've seen a motion to authorize actions by the attorneys. So, I have a motion to do that. Any motion to authorize the attorneys to address?
Second.
By Ms. Ingram, second by Ms. Segura. Any further comments or questions from the public? Or the committee? Anyone opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. I believe that's it, Rachel.
That concludes the audit agenda.
Thank you. Appreciate it. We are now adjourned.
We're moving on to legal and title. And we'll go legal and title.
Thank you. Mr. Heck, are you ready to proceed with legal and title?
Yes, sir, I am.
Give me time to...
I am. I'm not going to start.
I'm sorry. We've been engaged in conversation. Picking up my papers. Are you sure this is the one or this one? John Jell is obviously not here today. Mr. Segura?
Here.
Mr. Arnold? Mr. Cadera?
Here.
Mr. Diaz? Mr. Harper? Mr. Ingram?
Here.
Mr. Martin?
Jackson.
Sanders present. Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Smith?
Here.
We have a quorum. Call the legal and title controversy committee to order. Mr. Hegg.
Before we start, I'd like to introduce a new attorney who is starting with us, April Duay. You heard her in the back. She entered into the discussion, but you don't know her name, so I'm introducing her.
And her name is April
Duay. D-U-H-E.
Duay.
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 Okay, thank you. Welcome, Ms. Duay.
Item number one is a request by Hillcore Energy Company to negotiate an operating agreement affecting state lease or adjacent to state lease 2084, and will cover 137.63 acres of unleased water bottoms located within the QBILWREGRASU unit. What happened here is the company drilled a well. It went outside. There was an existing unit that it was drilling in. The unit was dissolved, and a new unit was placed while they were drilling, which included acreage that was not in the original unit, and it is unleased. Therefore, they now have unleased acreage within the unit which they drilled. And so they're asking for an operating agreement, and the staff, after having discussed the situation with them, is of the opinion that this is a situation that would fit for an operating agreement, and therefore we are requesting that the staff be authorized to negotiate an operating agreement, and that the 137.63 acres be not allowed to be leased for a period of 90 days or until the January Mineral Board meeting.
With the pleasure of the board.
I'm with the accept staff recommendation.
Second.
Who second? Thank you, Mr. Discussion, board. Public comments. All in favor of the motion? All opposed? Motion carried unanimously.
Item number two is a request by Yuma Exploration and Production Company, Inc., on behalf of approximately 14 other working interest owners for a waiver of all or a portion of liquidated damage assessed on state lease number 19563 in the amount of $5,600 and on 19277 in the amount of $2,000. What happened here is there were approximately 16 different working interest owners in these leases. All of the working interest owners recorded the release timely, except one, which was Summit Operating. But since Yuma was the party responding on behalf of all of them, they are asking for a waiver. Now, Yuma on its own has about 14 appearances before the board for late release or one of those kinds of things. So ordinarily, they would not be given a break. But in this particular case, Yuma was timely in recording and filing its release, but it is solidarily liable with the other 14, so any liquidated damage that will be assessed against all or individual. So in order to make this work, under this particular scenario, the liquidated damage could be reduced according to the objective criteria. The objective criteria would allow a reduction of the $5,600 liquidated damage assessment on state lease 19563 to $3,088.28. It would allow the liquidated damage assessment on state lease 19277 to be reduced to $935.86. The staff does recommend that the liquidated damage be reduced to those amounts, and that that be assessed and allow Yuma to recoup its share of the cost from Summit, which was the company that was late.
Also, this, just for the chair's observation, these late partial releases didn't affect any leasing activity.
No, I was going to go into that as well, but this was an area that the if it had been released timely, there was not a lot of leasing going on in that area, so it would not have affected future leasing.
Chair will entertain a motion. Mr. Arnold recommends staff recommendations. Second. Mr. Kadera seconds. Is there any discussion by the board? Any public comment? All in favor of the motion? Any opposition? Motion carries unanimously.
Item number three is a request by Sylvan Energy and Environmental LLC for a recognition of force majeure, State Lease 1337, the infamous State Lease 1337. In this particular case, this was a situation where the well was ready to be produced, but the pipeline that was going to be transporting and owned by another company blew up, and the company refused to repair it, although it has been learned that they did repair it. But they were not going to transport Sylvan's gas. They refused to do it. So they are now in front of the commissioner trying to force them to take the gas. It's a transportation line. So in other words, they are now diligently pursuing getting their gas to be produced through this pipeline. And so State Lease 1337 was amended to include the new force majeure language. This is a situation that comes under the new force majeure language, and so the staff does recommend in this particular situation that the force majeure be recognized. This was also on Charles's list earlier, and he mentioned it. And so the staff does recommend that the force majeure be recognized.
Chair will entertain a motion. Mr. Arnold moves. Staff recommendation. Mr. Cadera seconds. Any discussion by the board? Any comment from the public? All in favor of the motion? Any opposed? Carried unanimously. I'm told we need to recess. Chair will entertain a motion to recess to go into regular session. Mr. Arnold moves. Ms. Cadera seconds. Any opposition? Motion carries.
Okay. At this time, I'd like to call the regular board meeting to order. Mr. Marlaro. Welcome, and can we have the roll, please?
All right. Chairman Angel, Mrs. Segura,
here.
Mr. Arnold, Mr. Cordero,
here.
Mr. Diaz, Mr. Harper,
here.
Mr. Ingram,
here.
Mr. Morton, Mr. Sanders,
present.
Mr. Smith, Darrell Smith, Mrs. Smith,
she's here.
Okay. We have a quorum.
Quorum. Okay, good. Thank you. Do a little business before we go back into the legal entitled controversy committee. Do you have a motion for approval of the September 8th, 2010 minutes? Moved by Mr. Ingram, second by Mr. Cordero. Any public comment? Any further discussion or questions? All in favor? All opposed? That motion carries. At this time, let's entertain a motion to approve the committee recommendations that we've already gone through, the Lease Review Committee, the Nomination Track Committee, and the Audit Committee.
Second. Sanders.
Motion by Mr. Arnold for approval of those committee recommendations, and a second by Mr. Sanders. Any further discussion or questions? Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, that motion carries. At this time, I'd like to entertain a motion to go in
move.
Recess so we can go back into the Legal Entitled Controversy Committee meeting. We have a motion
move.
By Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Morton. All in favor? All opposed, motion carries. We are in recess. We'll be back shortly.
Thank you. Reconvene the Legal Entitled Controversy Committee, Mr. Heck.
Okay, item number four is a request for final approval of a settlement agreement by and between the state and Biloxi Marsh. This was approved in principle at a prior meeting, subject to the drafting of an appropriate instrument, the execution thereof, proper advertisement, and placing on the docket. It is presently on the docket as item 10-42. It has been properly advertised and executed, and the staff does recommend final approval.
Chair will entertain a motion. Mr. Arnold moves that we accept the staff recommendation. Mr. Smith, Darrell Smith, seconds. Any discussion? Any public comment? Any opposition? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, item number five is carryover again from the lease review, has to do with Cox Operating, and it's a request by
staff to place Cox on behalf of the working interest owners and lessees of the state lease 195C, 2220, 2221, 4039, and 4147 to place them in default according to the Mineral Code, Title 31, Section 136, which requires that placing in default give the lessee the opportunity to overcome the default, if you will. And the staff will allow them, if Cox will, there are two separate fields involved with these leases. One of them is Quarantine Bay Field, the other is Elwha Bay Half Moon Lake Field. The staff will consider development to have been completed if Cox will drill or cause to be drilled a well in each one of those fields prior to April 1st, 2011. Or to release all non-productive acreage by April 1st of 2011. That is the placing in default. The staff will write a letter to that effect. Also, the staff would ask that, should that not occur, should they not do either of those, that at the April meeting after April 1st, that the board may cause the Attorney General's office to place these lessees on demand prior to litigation to obtain the non-productive acreage. So what we are requesting at this particular point is authorization to place Cox and the lessees, Cox is the operator, in default under Title 31, Section 136, with an opportunity to develop the field by April 1st by drilling a well in each one of the fields, or in other words, two wells prior to April 1st of 2011, or release all non-productive acreage by April 1st of 2011.
Mr. Excuse me just a second. You said place Cox, my notes from the agenda committee.
Cox is the operator of the two fields, but there are a number of lessees. They are not the only lessee.
Place Cox and all.
All the appropriate lessees, correct.
Chair will entertain a motion.
I make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Mr. Arnold moves the staff recommendation. Who give me the second? Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Segura. Yeah.
Members of the board.
Yes, sir.
I would like to make a statement of information.
Come in and sit down, please, sir. And,
okay.
Is his mic automatically on, or does it have to be turned?
Is this
state
on?
Your name. Sir, would you please state your name for the record?
All right. Let me introduce myself.
Thank you.
My name is David Sullenberger, Jr. I've had many years working with the oil and gas industry. I represent a family who owns an overriding royalty in State Lease 195 in Quarantine Bay. The family has been involved since 1928 in this lease, when they represented to the state the leasing under the name Southern Sulfur. They drilled a few wells, but they were unsuccessful, and turned the acreage to Gulf Oil in 1936. And then the family retained a 1/8 overriding royalty interest, so the state had another eighth to the owners of the overriding royalty, so it's always been burdened by a 1/4 royalty total. Let me get quickly to the point. I represent the Oliver family who owned this, and they are represented by the Pittsburgh National Bank and also in New Orleans by Chaff McCall. My job has been to monitor the operations and the demands of the state. In 1994, the Attorney General issued a statement validating the reversionary rights of the people that owned the overriding royalty. That is to say, the operators cannot, in the Attorney General's opinion, cannot release the acreage back to the state, but have to return it to the, in this case, the overriding royalty owners. There's been some contention about that throughout the years, but that is the end position. Mr. Heck?
What he's talking about is a sublease somewhat similar to the one that is on 340, where the parties are authorized to, if there is to be a release of acreage by the operators or the sublessees, if you will, then they are authorized to release to the state, but prior to that, they are obligated to offer it back to the override owners first. There's a certain amount of time for the overrides to respond, whether or not they accept it, and then if the overrides have not accepted it, then it will be released back to the state. What we are asking for here is, again, these are Cox and the present working interest owners placed, if we are going to put them in default, and if the wells are not drilled, then of course we will follow the procedure under the law, notifying the reversionary right owners. But again, as Mr. Schoenberger has said, there is a question of whether or not, since all of the override owners, and there are quite a few of them, or if they do not all accept, or they are not all notified as to whether or not there is any acceptance, and whether or not that right is something that has to be followed at that time. But of course, the staff on making this default letter will follow whatever the law is. We're asking to place in default the working interest owner at the present time as to what those working interest owners can or will do if the default is followed up. We can't say.
So,
but we are still asking for authority to place them in default.
Right. And as I appreciate, if the land is released, it can possibly.
Well, that is between the sublessee and the sublessor. That is between whoever the working interest owners are now and the sublessor. But for non-development, we would place all of them on notice,
right,
of default.
But the state could lose these lands, is what?
Excuse me?
Lose our interest in that land?
Oh, no. The override interest in it is the interest in the original lease.
Okay.
They don't own the land.
Okay.
The state owns the land.
All right.
First, may I comment? Appreciate your comments, Mr. Sonnenberg. We always ask for public comment, and you showed up today to give us some public comment, so thank you.
I assumed I'd be able to speak. Thank you very much.
We recognize Ms. Smith.
Mr. Heck, I'd like to understand that in order for the reversionary owners to gain their rights, we have to take this step to place the lease in default. Does this need to happen first, in other words, before
right.
they can exercise
right.
their rights?
This is a question of non-development of the lease.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In order for a lessor to obtain the property back for non-development, under the Mineral Code, Section 136, you have to first place the lessees in default. And then give them a particular time to do the development, or then at that point you go ahead and ask for cancellation of the lease. The reversionary right owners, being the original lessees, and there are quite a few of them, I would say, and for purposes of our interest, I would say we'd send a letter to all, not only the working interest owners we have now, but the overrides as reversionary right owners, and let them straighten it out as between the sublessor or sublessee, but everybody is noticed for non-development. And at that point, they are given a particular amount of time to develop, or procedure will be to cancel the lease.
Yes, sir. Chair recognizes you, sir.
In my report to the people that I work for, what is this time element you're talking about to give us in the next report?
Till April the 1st to have a well drilled on the two fields, the Quarantine Bay Field and Elwha Bay Half Moon Field, by April 1st, 2011, or at that point a demand will be made for a cancellation of the lease.
Okay, I understood the April the 1st date. What I'm talking about is what time frame would my people have to decide whether they would be able to go into operating mode if they decide that?
None. April 1st, 2011.
No time?
2011. We're going to notify all parties, including your clients, of non-development.
And they're going to be notified within the next week?
We'll send out letters as soon as we can.
As soon as possible?
Yes.
Kind of a short period, yes. after...
Well, Cox is not the only one that's going to get the notification. The lessors, the override interest, being the original lessees of the state, can, under their sublease agreement, I presume, have some rights against their sublessees to...
non-performance?
The non-performance have their whatever. But that's not our problem. Our problem is going to be to notify everybody as soon as we can of non-development, give them a particular time to develop it, or...
They're in the same position as the sublessees. Right.
Who? Them? They're the sublessors. The sublessees would be Cox and... Well, Cox is the operator, whoever the sublessees are.
But they're all put in demand in the same position because they successively have assigned.
Well, they're all going to receive... Right. They're all going to receive notice of default. The same. Whenever they get in the mail, we're going to mail them out all, hopefully all at the same time.
So it's
assuming
not,
we have correct addresses for everybody, and I hope we do.
So it's not like if Cox non-performs, then they have get a certain period of time. They're on notice too.
They're on notice too. Everybody's going to be on notice.
Thank you. I understand that. This does involve only the non-producing acreage, I assume.
That's correct.
Will there be negotiations as to what is non-producing and what is?
I think we have an idea of what is. Our staff has an idea of what is non-producing.
Possibly the staff does, talking about the operators and the overriding royalty owners. In other words, could I, for instance, be involved in determining what is non-operating and non-producing?
Well, you certainly have a right to look at what we consider non-producing.
Before April 1st?
Sure.
It's public record, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My people are very much involved in this because we've been down this road before. One of the fields that was involved and is not mentioned anymore is Creole, one of the first offshore operating entities in the Gulf of Mexico. The operator lost the lease through failure to produce, which of course dissolved the overriding royalty. And then within a very short period of time, the acreage was leased again, and it is on operating again. So they're concerned that acreage would be dropped that has potential. And I'm sure you're all aware of the very deep potential in these fields now as a result of Mac Moran's, Davy Jones's projects. He's developing prospects 15, 20,000 feet, much lower than anything that's been seen on any of these leases. So these people are concerned that on April 1st, they'll lose acreage that next April would be very valuable.
And sir, what I may suggest is you're welcome, and we'll open the door
absolutely
for you all to meet with staff as early as, you know, this week if you'd like to. We can certainly accommodate you in any manner.
Okay, I'll arrange that with Mr. Heck.
Okay.
Thank you very much again.
Yeah.
And let me also mention that this acreage, the Cox has been notified over the past 5 years or 4 years to develop this acreage and has not done so. So this has been going on for quite a while, and so at this particular point, we'd be glad to point out to all of the owners of the original lease what we consider non-producing acreage. So they'll have the opportunity. Absolutely.
Yeah. Sure. Mr. Heck, let's get that set up with them.
Certainly.
I have a, Mr. Heck, I didn't understand the recommendation. This is a point of clarification for the chair. Did you say that they had to complete the well by April the wells by April the 1st or spud the well?
Spud the well.
Okay. I want to be sure because...
Yeah, there's a big difference. Yeah, no, they had to spud the well by April 1st, 2011. Well, so, two wells, one in each field.
So if I heard it wrong or you said it, completion...
That yeah, it, well, if I said it, I was wrong, and I'm sorry.
I'm not correct.
No. I could be wrong, but it's to spud the well by that date.
Thank you. Is the... I know that, but do we need to amend the motion? I don't, or is it clear?
I understood him.
Okay.
I understood you.
Okay. What is the pleasure of the board, Chair? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Motion carries to accept staff recommendation.
Placing default.
Placing Cox et al. In default.
Right.
Under penalty of?
Of possible lease cancellation.
Okay.
With an
April 1st deadline to?
To spud wells, one in each field, one in Quarantine Bay Field, one in LY Bay Half Moon Lake Field.
Thank you. I'm not laboring on it. I just...
No, I understand.
Sure.
No, you have to get it clear.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Sanders, can I ask one quick question? If Cox is in default and they do lose the lease, does the sublessors have a right of first refusal if it comes back up, Rick?
The way the sublessors, sublessees, whatever rights they have between each other, that's going to be for them to hammer out as to what damages. But if a non-development of that portion of the lease, it would have to go through litigation to get canceled anyway, because there is no pew clause in this lease. It's a very old lease, and so to get the non-developed acreage released, a suit would have to be filed to cancel it. So all of these things would come out, and whatever happens is between the sublessor or sublessees, that's governed by their sublease, okay, of which the state is not a part.
Thank you.
Proceed, Mr. Eck.
I'm put in the position of I've been here for years.
Just 1 second, please, sir. Sit down and recognize us and state your name again so the record is clear. This lady's trying to get it in.
Oh, sorry.
You want to address the board again?
Yes, I do. There's something that should be pointed out or confirmed. Mr. Heck says a well has to be drilled in Quarantine Bay. Is that in the producing area, or does it have to be in non-producing
area? In the non-producing area.
Okay.
Well, in the non-producing area, one in Quarantine Bay. In the non-producing area, in LY Bay, Half Moon Lake Field.
That's it.
Chair will entertain a motion for executive session. Mr. Arnold, Mr. Segura moves and Mr. Arnold seconds. Any opposition? Adjourned.
You need me to come
to executive
come
session.
Do
you want to?
Man,
you
got to
know.
Yeah, I know.
Well, thank you for bringing it.
I'll just move my microphone.
Okay. I think we need to take, since it'll take the less amount of time, item number 7. The staff, based upon the what was told to the mineral board in executive session, authority for the attorney general's office to intervene on behalf of the mineral board and the state in litigation in the Eastern District. Okay, on item 6 is the request by Chesapeake to negotiate an operating agreement on acreage within the HARESU 67 unit in Elm Grove Field and Haynesville Shale. Some proprietary information was presented in the executive session of the board regarding this particular unit and the well that was drilled, and further discussion on the request in open session. I'm allowing the representatives for Chesapeake to go ahead and make an argument for an operating agreement.
Honored board members, I'm Bill Strain, representing Chesapeake. I'm sorry, am I out of turn?
I said, no, sir. We welcome you here this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Charles Ellis, my law partner.
Good to see you, Mr. Ellis. Thank you.
All we're here to request today, we're not asking you to tell us you're going to give us an operating agreement. We just want an opportunity to negotiate with the board what the terms of that operating agreement would be. And I can tell you it will involve a substantial amount of cash and an increased royalty over the expired, what was formerly covered by the expired lease. All we want is an opportunity to negotiate. And I think it's in the state's best interest to let us do that, because we might make you an offer you can't refuse.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Well, yeah, I can tell you now that I think we're probably the best game in town on this acreage. The price of gas, according to the newspaper $4. Yesterday on the commodities market, was $3.63 an MCF. Mm-hmm. And we're also, as far as any potential for liability for the state for allowing us to get an operating agreement, as far as third parties are concerned, we're willing to give you an indemnity. We're willing to give the state, the mineral board and the state, an indemnity against any fallout from it, and we're willing to post a bond to back it up. And the other thing is that if anybody else were to bid on it, they'd have to come in and pay their share of operating of drilling and operating costs. And this is a multi-million dollar well. And the last thing is, maybe not the last, but I'm going to give Mr. Ellis a shot if you let him have it. But the last thing is, why is the Haynesville any different? Y'all gave Hillcorp the right to negotiate for an operating agreement this morning. Don't mean you have to make the deal. Doesn't mean you have to take what they offer. But at least they got a chance to come up with something. And why are they different than we are? Simply because this is a Haynesville. I don't get that. And I've been doing this for 35 years. I've been appearing before this board for over 35 years. And I've negotiated dozens and dozens and dozens of operating agreements. And it's all pretty much the same situation. Somebody lost a lease on it was in a unit with a producing well, and through a clerical error, through no maliciousness or no ulterior motive, somebody just messed up. And so you're going to lose a valuable lease because somebody just messed up when the legislature expressly gave you the authority to negotiate an operating agreement. That's a negotiated thing. I don't know what the final dollar figure will be, and I don't know what the final royalty increase will be. I'll tell you what, there's going to be a substantial amount of cash put up, and there's going to be an increase in royalty, and you don't know what you're going to get if you put it up for bid. You don't know that we'd even bid as much as we'd offer for the operating agreement. So I think we ought to at least have a shot. I mean, I've never heard anybody tell me that has authority to negotiate tell me that they don't want to negotiate. Charlie, you got anything to add to that?
Address the mic, please, Mr. Charlie.
Yeah, certainly. I just wanted to add to that. You know, I recall that someone had raised the issue of whether there are different standards for the Haynesville. And as Bill pointed out just now, there certainly are. The statute under that grants the authority for granting operating agreements provides for this exact situation. It's an illustrative listing of situations, and a clerical error resulting in the loss of a lease is this precise situation, and nowhere in that statute or any of the legislative history or anything associated with it is there anything which says except in the Haynesville Shale or except with Chesapeake. So I think it's right on the money. And while the board has discretion to go one route or the other, it certainly seems to be a situation where just giving the opportunity to negotiate to see where we will shake out on the terms of an agreement, if we can come to mutually agreeable terms, would be in the state's best interest.
And the board has to approve any deal that we hammer out with the staff anyway. And you've got the opportunity of rejecting it then. So why not give us a shot at it?
You make your points quite well.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Heck, do you have something to add to this? I'm sorry, Jackson, I didn't realize you were talking to
you. Sorry, Jackson Logan with the Attorney General's office. For sake of brevity and having the board be presented with all information, Charles Bradbury with the state has requested to provide some information.
Chair recognizes Mr. Bradbury.
Let me get comfortable here.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. This is one of those rare cases where usually when we give an operating agreement, we're in the absence of an area of intense competition for land. Under the statute, number 5, I believe it is, under 209, it says the board has the power to do whatever it feels is in the best interest of the state. So normally, in other cases where there's an absence of competition, the staff would clearly, easily recommend an operating agreement. In this case here, we have two problems. One, of course, is the easy one, is the competition in the area. It'd be hard to define what good terms are when somebody can always come back and say, well, I would have bid higher. The second problem, which Ike reminded me of and I need to point out to you, is there has to be some element of risk here. Since we're in a play that you have 100% completion rates, almost, you're looking at a situation where there's, you know, very little geological risk. But from an economic standpoint, one of the concerns the staff has always had in the past and problems we've had is quantifying that risk, and just to keep things completely transparent. In this case, when you receive money up front, it makes it difficult for us to build in risk into the calculations to make sure that we comply with the statute. Because of the competitive nature, Rick, am I correct in saying that we recommended that the board would not consider it in this case? Or essentially what this is a case where we're really looking for guidance on it. I mean, if we do one operating agreement up here, then anytime anybody else has a similar case, everybody else is going to get treated the same. So it's one of those things where if we say yes, then there will always be a yes, and if we say no, there will always be a no kind of thing, I think.
Yes. I got a question, Ms. Sanders.
Thank you, Mr. Ingram.
Mr. Bradbury, do you think it hurts our position to negotiate with them, though?
No, it doesn't hurt our position to negotiate. It's just we have to be willing to accept, you know, the potential at the end of somebody coming back and saying, well, I would have bid more and suing or raising those points. That's been the big issue. The safest thing would be is, from a state standpoint, was just nominate, put the acreage up for bid, and let the market deal with it. From a standpoint of being somebody who actually does the work on all these negotiations, you know, it's like I would say if there was, you know, a clear-cut case up here in North Louisiana where one qualified for, it's like we've parroted, you know, I'm parroting what other people have said, is that anywhere else, we wouldn't really be having this intensive discussion on. But because of the competitive nature of the area, that's why we're leaving it up to the wisdom of the board to handle the matter.
Do you think we should take into account that these people are here month in and month out, leasing property from us all over the state, and maybe we should at least give them some type of consideration?
Let me make a statement.
Mr. Heck, the chair, we're focused on a narrow. Thank you for your comment. We're focused on a narrow issue here, are we not? That is whether or not the board grant the authority to staff to entertain negotiations. That's the only issue before us.
That's correct. Not to grant or not grant.
I understand
just
that.
To negotiate. And let me make one thing clear as well. If we put it up for lease and somebody other than Chesapeake wins the lease, the well itself, the cost of the well, those parties are going to have to share the cost of the well. So it's not necessarily a given that anybody is going to do that. But again, that's all to be handled later on. Right now, all they're asking for is the authority to negotiate. If we are given the authority to negotiate, whatever terms they present will certainly be brought back to the board for consideration.
Ms. Smith, you want to contribute?
Yes, I'd like to make a contribution. I'm personally aware of the issues that the drillers and the producers have faced in North Louisiana with the shale over the last couple of years, and the infrastructure being one, not having the pipelines that delayed production in some cases, and the water issues that they face. So I would think those might be issues that would give us some leeway to avoid, say, somebody in the future, because maybe the infrastructure is in place and they would not have the same challenges that these early producers have faced. So I would think that if I'm kind of maybe replying to your issue that in the future everybody might want to not produce and we'd have a lot of operating agreements. So I think this could be an exception, and that I think it would be a good thing if we would allow the negotiation at least to see what could come out of it. It could not hurt us. It certainly would not hurt our position. So
the chair would, with due respect, solicit our discussion directed to the issue as opposed to our general thoughts as to the merits of the issue. I don't want to be out of order, and I certainly don't want to cut anybody off. Yeah, I really think we need to vote on the narrow issue of whether we want to negotiate, and not, I don't want to be offensive to you, Mr. Smith. I don't want us to also tip our legal hand, because I don't think we should do that as your chair. Mm-hmm. But
then I'll make a motion. I move, somewhat regretfully, but that we accept staff recommendation to not negotiate.
Mr. Smith, do you have any objection to that? Okay.
Yes, I do. Let me ask you a question. How many operating agreements have we entered into in the past with
companies? Historically, we approved 314.
Similar to this situation?
Oh, varying situations.
But some certainly similar to this situation. Absolutely.
Identical to what these guys are going through. Y'all have
a lease that was lost due to an oversight or mistake on the part of the operator.
But not in this area.
Not in this area, no.
Not an area that's been very valuable and very active.
No.
You're talking about the geographic area.
Right. Yes.
Thank you. Something else, Mr. Smith?
I'll second the motion.
Now we're open for discussion. Is there any discussion of the narrow motion that we have before us?
Yes.
By the board?
Yes, there is. I would like
Chair to recognize Ms. Smith.
Okay. I would like to generate some discussion, because with the volume of business that Chesapeake has brought into our state, and it was my understanding that this board was going to be very friendly toward producers in the state, and they are one of the major producers. And Maybe I've missed something here. I know I missed last month's meeting, but did I miss something that maybe someone could clarify for me why this would be a big issue with Chesapeake having an operating agreement, just for my knowledge?
I don't think that we addressed anything, and of course I was sitting in, not a secretary at that moment, but my understanding from staff is traditionally there has not been an exception made in the Haynesville Shale area to date. Is that correct? And that's something that has kind of been set forth and out there for some time now. And somebody correct me if I'm different. There was nothing last month that came up in this regard, though. You didn't miss anything pertinent to this conversation.
Okay, so why the Haynesville Shale? I mean, it's North Louisiana, but why is it so different? I mean, why wouldn't there be an exception made? I just want to understand. I'm not trying to be oppositional at all. I just don't understand why would it just be the Haynesville Shale? And I know, of course, you know, the high producing, and I know all of that.
Because it's a hot area.
It's a hot area.
And the other areas have not been?
Typically, no, sir. There's not typically not been competitive bidding in the area. Let me try to phrase it this way. The reason why this is different or appears different is because of financial. It's a business decision that the board is going to make. To some extent, maybe illegal, but primarily a business. What you are is you're managing the state lands, and you're going to try to get the best dollar for the property possible.
Yes.
And you're also couched in the fact that you're going to try to work with the industry as much as possible. So you have those two things to weigh. And in this case, this is why the staff is, you know, places it before the board for your for your opinion and what you think we should do and how we should proceed from here.
And yeah. I would just say, Helen, that if it is a business decision, we ought to at least maybe hear what they have to offer. All we're doing is negotiating.
It doesn't cost us anything.
That's what this decision is, and that's why it doesn't. I am concerned that we are not even interested in hearing one of our major players in the state. I mean, the opportunity could delay 30 days max.
Ms. Smith.
Yes.
Ms. Smith.
Yes.
I haven't heard anybody make any opinion as to what we're going to do here.
Well, I understand.
I would respectfully request that we address the issue as to whether we want to authorize the staff to enter into negotiations. That's the only motion we have on the floor.
I understand.
It's not whether we're friendly or unfriendly. It's not the parties involved.
I understand.
I know you understand, but I don't want to get far afield on my motion. If you bear with me. Yes, Mr. Ingram.
Could I make a substitute motion, Mr. Sanders?
You'd have to take that up with the original motion and follow the Roberts Rules of Orders to do that and get permission, if I'm correct, Mr. Egg.
This,
right.
Yeah, right. You have a motion and a second already.
We do.
So what you could, if you have enough parties that don't agree with that motion, then you could either vote on it and vote it down, or you could, with the consent of the original party making
correct.
The motion, amend that motion.
Correct.
Whichever.
Do you want to suggest what your substitute motion might be?
I'd like to make a substitute motion that we at least give them an opportunity to sit down and tell us what they're offering before we say no to them.
Okay.
I think that's just prudent business.
So I
think the chair is going to call for a question on the original motion, and then we can, if there's a, let's see where that falls, and I respect everybody around the table. We're not expressing any opinion on
this. Ms. Sanders, before we do that, can I make one point?
Yes, sir.
Again, Ms. Smith has pointed out that these are major players here every month in and month out. They're not a hit and miss. I see Chesapeake here every month. I got to tell you, just hypothetically, I'm going to feel real silly if this is voted down and some other company that's a hit and miss shows up here and gets the lease. I'm going to feel real silly looking at these people. And I'm just looking at it from a standpoint of my own personal business, how I'd feel if I was in their shoes. So I hope y'all consider that.
The chair respects that, but we're not talking about personalities here. We're talking about the concept of whether the board authorizes staff to negotiate with Chesapeake. They just happen to be the party. We could probably get a lot of opinions about Chesapeake, and there might be some of them varying from in a broad spectrum, but that's not what we're talking about here, folks. I've called for the chair wants to entertain a vote on this. Is there any public comment? You've already had your public comment, I believe, have you not, sir? Addressing Mr. Strain. Is there any other public comment on this motion? All in favor of the original motion? I'd like to hear it by roll call. Just a second, please. John Jell? Ms. Segura?
Aye.
Would you state the motion so we are clear as to what we are voting on?
Well, the chair interprets the request of Mr. Strain's client, Chesapeake, seeking authority to negotiate with the staff of the Mineral and Energy Board a potential operating agreement concerning this particular controversy or issue. Is that the my?
No, I think the motion on the floor, the motion that was presented was accepting staff's recommendation to not negotiate. In other words, so if you vote yes, you are voting to not negotiate.
First of all,
no, not to not negotiate, to not give the staff authority to negotiate.
Correct.
Right. That's what the staff's recommendation was.
Well, right. No, that before you go any further, that was not my recommendation.
I'm not stating your recommendation.
No. What you're going to vote on, and again, what you've heard Charles say, and what I think their recommendation was because of this situation is not to authorize negotiation. But if that is the that is the geology staff's recommendation, I did not make a recommendation, and I have not made one yet. As far as we're concerned, so the staff's negotiation, geologist is not to give it. That's correct.
Okay.
And the motion is to accept staff's recommendation not to authorize negotiation for an operating agreement.
Well, it doesn't matter.
I've
read in here recommends that staff not be authorized to negotiate an operating agreement with Chesapeake.
All right. That's correct. That is the motion.
Okay. So that's what I said.
All right. So to clarify, if you vote yes on Mr. Segura's motion, then we would not be negotiating.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Chesapeake.
Right. Okay. Mr. Sand.
On this matter. Right.
This matter.
Correct.
Okay. Shall we start over on the call?
Yes, sir. I would suggest so.
All in favor of the
staff's
recommendation and the motion has been set forth here. Mr. Segura?
Aye.
Mr. Arnold?
Nay.
Mr. Cordero?
Nay.
Mr. Diaz? He's absent. Mr. Harper?
Abstain.
Mr. Ingram?
Nay.
Mr. Martin?
Nay.
Mr. Smith?
Nay.
All in favor of the motion? I'm sorry, Ms. Smith. Yeah,
Nay.
I apologize for the oversight. Y'all are working me hard today for my $75 minus withholding. Okay. I'm tallying the score. We have Mr. Segura is against the motion. You're for the motion.
For the motion.
And the balance of the board, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 is negative to the motion. So the motion
fails.
Right. Okay.
Substitute motion.
I'd like to make a motion to approve.
All right, Mr. Smith. You make a motion. Make your motion very clear.
Make a motion for the staff to enter into negotiations for an operating agreement.
Agreement with Chesapeake.
With Chesapeake.
To be approved by the board.
To be approved by the board.
Or denied by the board.
Or denied. Thank you.
Okay. Does the chair have a second? Mr. Ingram seconds Mr. Smith's motion. Okay. Is there some discussion?
Before you go any further, if the board is, and this motion is to authorize negotiation, concomitant with that is to take this particular acreage out of play as far as nominating it for future leases, because what could happen if you don't do that is while we're negotiating, somebody could come in and nominate it. So we would want to further take this acreage out of commerce where nobody can come in and negotiate or nominate it for a lease.
I'll amend my motion to take the acreage out for the staff to enter into negotiations with Chesapeake for the board to approve or deny.
Mr. Ingram, you agreeable to them?
I second whatever he said.
Mr. Heck, are we in proper rules of order here?
You are.
Okay. Chair recognizes Mr. Arnold.
Do we need to set a time frame for this?
90 days. Yes, it's 90 days, but rather than 90 days, we'll make it by the January Mineral Board meeting.
January 11th Mineral Board meeting.
Right.
Amend that motion to January Mineral Board meeting.
Mr. Ingram? Okay, now we've got the motion out here. All in favor of Mr. Smith's motion? Any public comment? We understand your position, Mr. Strain.
An old judge told me one time, when you think you won, keep your mouth shut.
Heard that. Okay, Mr. Segura?
Nay.
Mr. Arnold, Mr. Cadera, Mr. Diaz is absent, Mr. Harper abstain, Mr. Ingram, Mr. Martin, Mr. Darrell Smith,
aye,
Ms. Helen Smith, yes. Okay, well, the only nay is Mr. Segura, the motion passes.
I want to thank you very much for your courtesy and for your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. We want to try to treat everybody fair around here, and I trust that we're trying to do that for you and accomplish it.
I feel like I've been treated fairly.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
I believe that concludes the agenda.
Anything else for the Legal and Title Controversy Committee today?
I think we've had enough excitement for today. I think that...
Chair will entertain a motion to adjourn. Ms. Smith, motions to adjourn. A second. Mr. Morton, second. Any objection to adjourning? We're adjourned.
Moving on to DACA Review Committee.
I'd like to call the DACA Review Committee to order. I'm going to call the roll, please. Mr. Angel, absent. Mr. Segura? Pay attention, please, class. Mr. Segura? Are you here?
I'm here.
Mr. Arnold? Mr. Cordero? Mr. Diaz? Absent. Mr. Harper?
Here.
Ingram? Morton?
Here.
Mr. Sanders?
Present.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mrs. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum. Okay. Will the staff please present recommendations to the committee?
Good afternoon. The staff of the Petroleum Lands Division of the Office of Mineral Resources has reviewed those items requiring board approval for the October 13, 2010 DACA Review Committee and recommends the following. For Category A, State Agency Leases, please approve item number one. For Category B, State Lease Transfers, please approve items number one through items number 22. for items 23 and 24, approved subject to the approval of the governor of Louisiana. Please approve item number 25. Item number 26, approved subject to the approval of the governor of Louisiana. Please approve item numbers 27 through 29. For category C, advertised proposals, please approve item number 1, and this completes the staff's recommendations to the Docket Review Committee.
You said 27 through 29?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Are there any comments from the board? Any comments from the public? Okay, do I have a motion to accept staff's recommendations? Move. Segura moves, second. Cordero? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Okay, do I have a motion to adjourn docket review?
Motion.
Smith, second. Mrs. Smith? All in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? We are now adjourned.
All right, at this time, I'd like to reconvene the regular board meeting.
Excuse me.
Yes.
I need a brief recess.
You need a brief reset.
I requested it earlier.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Thank you. Well, we're already in recess, so we'll take a few minutes. Thank you. 5 minute recess.
Oh, no. We're right there.
This time I'd like to call the regular board meeting back to order. We were in the item 3, the adoption of the committee recommendations. We've already adopted items 3A, B, and C. Do I have a motion to adopt the committee recommendations of the Legal and Title Controversy Committee and the Docket Review Committee, items D and E? We have a motion by Mr. Arnold. We have a second by Ms. Smith. Any discussion or questions? Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. This time, item 4, the executive session for the technical briefing. Are we ready for a technical briefing? Do I have a motion to go into executive session?
Sanders,
move. Motion for executive session by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Ingram. Any public comment? Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? We're in. Motion carries. We're in executive session. We'll be back shortly.
Iberia. You gonna drive to Houston or wing it? On that West Star, what is it called? What's the plane? You got another one. Houston. What's the other one? Yeah.
We also have.
You hurt my feelings when you.
What?
Not being fair to you.
No, I've been mad at you.
Because I love you and I'm always nice to you.
You
But you know, I don't have any of that handbill jail money in my pocket.
That's what you're going to make me tell them what I told
you. Oh, I know what you got in your mind, sister. I know what's happening.
We have been patiently listening to whatever he got to say.
I do need
it. Yeah, but you need to be germane.
I didn't know that was there when I saw it.
He's stalling it.
There was nobody present, no.
Okay, I don't have to talk about this. I don't have to brown it. I'll do the globe.
Okay. Yes, I'd like to call the meeting back to order. Need to entertain a motion to come out of executive session.
Sanders.
We have a motion by Mr. Ingram, second by Mr. Sanders. All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. We're back in regular session. Mr. Vaughn, you ready for your presentation?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The first track, 41643, the staff recommends the second bid of Matador Resources. The bid was $415,296 at a price per acre of $7,416 and 25% royalty. On track number 41651, the staff recommends the bid of Orbit Energy Incorporated be accepted. On track number 41654, this is a multiple acceptable bid with an apparent overlap. As a result, we recommend accepting the bid of Ballard Exploration Company as to the second bid of Wainwright Boyer Land Services. After we finalize the property descriptions, we recommend that Wainwright Boyer Land Services be granted an option to take the remaining property of its bid minus any property bid by Ballard Exploration at Wainwright and Boyer Land Services bid price. On track number 41661, we're recommending the bid of Louisiana Energy Investments. On track number 41682, we're recommending the bid of Paramount Energy. That concludes, as to the remaining tracks receiving bids, we recommend that those bids be accepted. And that concludes our recommendations, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you. Are there any questions or discussion on these bids?
I make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Okay, we have a motion to accept staff's recommendation of these bids by Mr. Arnold, second by Ms. Smith. Any further discussion or questions? Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. All right, thank you. Our next item is item 6. This is a resolution that is for Assistant Secretary Lou Buett and in his service as the Assistant Secretary of the Office of Mineral Resources and Secretary of the Mineral Board. I'd like to read it. It says, whereas Louis E. Buett has been appointed Assistant Secretary of the Office of Coastal Restoration and Management on August 29, 2008, was further appointed as Assistant Secretary of the Office of Mineral Resources on February 23, 2010, to serve thereafter in a dual capacity as Assistant Secretary for both offices of the Department of Natural Resources and resulting from the Office of Mineral Resources appointment to serve as Secretary of the Louisiana Mineral and Energy Board. And whereas having little previous experience with the energy industry, Louis Buett, in his new capacity, was nevertheless thrust into a pivotal role in drafting and by dint of personal sacrifice of time and energy, shepherding through the legislative process to enact new and vital legislation dealing with alternative energy sources as a function of Mineral and Energy Board oversight. And whereas during his tenure in the dual capacity role,
Louisiana was faced with one of the worst natural disasters in its history in the explosion and sinking of the Deepwater Horizon drilling rig under contract to British Petroleum America, and the resulting massive oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico off of its coast. Which disaster placed Louis Buat in the forefront of the Louisiana effort, working closely with its governor, lieutenant governor, state legislators, congressmen, senators, and state government personnel, including personnel from the Office of Mineral Resources and the Office of Coastal Management, in crafting and implementing a unified response to that disaster, embodying mitigation and ultimate relief while maintaining a vigorous oil and gas presence in Louisiana. And whereas Louis Buat, while adroitly dealing with the multitude of calls on his limited time occasioned by his function as dual capacity assistant secretaries, as well as close advisor to the sometime representative of the Lieutenant Governor, Scott Angel, in carrying out the plethora of duties and obligations concomitant with the office, nevertheless, through exemplary management skills and consistent attention to detail, provided the requisite leadership which has allowed the Office of Mineral Resources to maintain its deserved reputation of quality service to the oil and gas industry and the public, and the Mineral and Energy Board exhibit a standard of excellence in representing the state through the development of its abundant mineral and energy resources. And whereas, having served so diligently and selflessly to oversee the many functions of the Office of Mineral Resources and the Mineral and Energy Board in dealing with the continued development of mineral and energy resources for the state of Louisiana, Louis Buat, in order to devote the requisite time and energy to maintaining the highest standard operation of the Office of Coastal Management and to fulfill even greater service to the state in his capacity as advisor to the Lieutenant Governor, Scott Angel, and upon the appointment of a new Assistant Secretary for the Office of Mineral Resources, ended his stewardship as Assistant Secretary of that office on September 8, 2010, leaving it and Louisiana better able to meet the uncertain energy demands engendered by fractious federal energy policy. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Louisiana Mineral and Energy Board does herein and hereby render its heartfelt commendation to Louis E. Buat for his tireless devotion to duty, his unsparing expenditure of time and effort, his unselfish sharing of knowledge and experience, and his willingness to do that little bit extra necessary to maintain the deserved reputation of the Office of Mineral Resources as nonpareil in service to the state of Louisiana, the energy industry, and the public as regards the development of mineral and energy resources in and for the state of Louisiana, and to project the effectiveness of the Mineral and Energy Board in its oversight of that development. Be it further resolved that, knowing the experience and service of Louis E. Buat to the Department of Natural Resources and the state of Louisiana, will continue in his capacity as Assistant Secretary of the Office of Natural Resources and the state of Louisiana, as Assistant Secretary of the Office of Coastal Management, and as advisor to the present Lieutenant Governor, Scott Angel, with the same diligence, without regard for the inconvenience, concomitant with such service as he exhibited in his short tenure as Assistant Secretary of the Office of Mineral Resources, and the Mineral and Energy Board desires that he understand the high regard with which he is held by the board, and the best wishes of the board for continued successful service in the public sector. Thank you, Lou Buat, for the entire Mineral and Energy Board. I'd like a motion and a second for this resolution.
Well, you need a unanimous motion from the board, don't you?
Well, we'll see. So,
I move acceptance of the resolution.
Okay, we have a motion by Ms. Smith, second by Mr. Sanders, but it is unanimous by the board. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. And I believe we'll present this resolution to Mr. Buat, who unfortunately could not be here, but he may show up. Any announcements?
Oh, there he is.
There he is.
For those announcements.
Lou, Paul's going to read this over for you.
Yeah. We're just going to read another short resolution.
Read it again.
Could you come up and identify yourself, please?
Yeah. How'd you know you're supposed to be here?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, could you reread that for me? thank y'all very much.
Lou, we just read a very brief resolution for you. That, thank you for all your service in your dual role in both offices and your current office you're holding now, and also with all the work that you did with the oil spill and helping the Lieutenant Governor with his efforts as well.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to serve the board. It was certainly a learning experience for me. I learned a lot from you all. Had a great time working with you all. Y'all are doing a fantastic job, and you all keep up the good work. Y'all have a good person here with Jody Montalero to carry on the work. I know he's going to do a fantastic job for you all. So. Thank you all. Thank you all for the opportunity to serve you all.
Well, good. Now, on behalf of the board and myself, it was really a pleasure dealing with you, and thank you for your service and your continued service still in the department.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Lou.
Mr. Lou.
And, Lou, we'd like to present you with your name placket.
I don't know. I don't know if the state can give that away. We may have to bid on it.
That would only be the proper thing.
Was it made in Haynesville?
Thanks.
Congratulations. Good to see you.
There you go. Any announcements?
I'd like to announce total cash payments for October 13th, as of October 13th, 2010, $2,601,466.43. And for fiscal year to date, $12,036,605.57.
67.
All right, great. Thank you very much. Once again, welcome, Jody Montalero, and we look forward to working with you.
I look forward to it, too. I know I've got big shoes to fill. Thank you.
Any further announcements?
Yes, we should welcome again Ms. Dewey to our staff, attorney, new attorneys.
Yes, welcome, Ms.
Absolutely.
April Dewey. If there are no further public comments or any more announcements, I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Mr. Ingram, second by Mr. Sanders. All in favor? All opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you, and we'll see you next month.